How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey kids, just a heads up, this episode deals with animal death and also has swearing. Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Molly.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And I'm Goodwin.
And today we're reading chapter one of Melting Stone. Chapter one.
Chapter 21. We're back at the beginning.
We're back
at started over.
I don't remember that far back.
Today we're reading chapter 21 of Melting Stones.
So grab your cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's shine bright like a diamond.
In chapter 21, Rosethorn frees Evie from being tied to her horse, and Azazé forbids her from telling Oswin anything about Miriam. Then everyone realizes that Nori and Jayet are gone, and Evie is not going to let that happen without her, so it's a big ol' rescue party now. Come to think of it, Tamara Pierce likes those. Sorry, random tangent. Evie finds Luvo and is like, hey, take care of Rosethorn. I'm going to go off and like fight some volcanoes again. And after some argument, Luvo gives Evie all of the magic. Then Evie covers herself with diamonds so that the sea can't find her, and then goes to bully some volcano spirits.
She grabs Carnelian and Flare by the ears and says, come on, we're going. And they try to fight her, but She's too strong until they start swirling, like kind of like the crystal trap that they were in. They start swirling and they're getting away, melting her, and then Luvo and his mountain friends save the day.
Luvo and Starnes show up. Starnes herself and some other islands are like, no.
We like the islands. We don't want to be destroyed. So we're going to stop you.
Knock it the fuck off.
Yeah.
You go this way. Like Evie was trying to tell you to go. Go this way. Be good little children. Go this way.
And then they do.
That's it, right?
Pretty much. Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. I actually want to start with the builder and destroyer thing.
I was actually literally about to say, let's talk about that building and destroying right there.
All right, Indy, you go first.
Whole passage, man, I have it highlighted. Perhaps that was hard. I am sometimes. But Evie, six-year-olds are tender plants. The slightest frost kills them. I cannot blame you, not really. In the years when you should have learned to be with people, you were scrabbling to survive all alone. but you haven't learned to go easy with the defenseless, something I'd hoped Briar and I would have taught you by now. I can only pray you will remember this and not get worse. Holy shit. We make the joke a lot. We've made it a lot through this whole series that Rosethorn is just rough on people. Once you get to know her, she's not that bad. But, like, can we just talk about how fucking harsh that line was? I think that is the hardest thing I have ever heard her, like, the meanest thing I've ever heard her say to someone who she is in constant contact with.
Like, I mean, I agree, but I also feel like this is kind of like in, was it the first book that Nico and Triss were talking and he had to give her a hard truth for her to fully understand the weight of everything that was happening. And I feel like that this is the same thing. Rosethorn has to give her the weight of the situation. Like, yeah, oh, it's messed up. And so,
yeah.
Hopefully no, this is a lesson to you. Hopefully things can get fixed and it won't be a bad thing, but remember this situation.
Yeah.
No, candy-coating it, though, is definitely not going to make things better.
That wasn't necessarily like a admonishment.
I wasn't saying it was, but...
It needed to be said.
It really did.
God damn.
Yeah. I
feel one of the roughest she's been with one of the kids. And so, 100% needed to be said.
Oh, yeah.
So the last time that we ran across the Bulldrone Destroyer thing, I mentioned that there are people who I've seen stuff in the fandom about this being, like, overly harsh. I'd forgotten about this line, and so when I came across this part, I was like, oh, well, maybe this is the part that they're talking about when they say it's overly harsh. I personally feel it's a little overly harsh, mostly because of the second part where she's like, oh, but, you know, you'll get used to it.
Yeah. But
then she also realizes that right away.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, let me backpedal a bit here.
Yeah.
I didn't take it as the second part was like, I would imagine it would bother you less over time. Like, if you keep destroying, keep destroying, keep destroying, it's eventually not going to phase you anymore.
Yeah.
So I didn't take it as, oh, well, you'll get used to it. I took it more as, if you keep destroying everything, then eventually you're going to become super hardened to all of it. So you need to make the choice of whether you're going to be a destroyer or builder. Yeah. So I don't feel like it's too harsh. Yeah. If you keep destroying and pushing people away and treating people like you did with Miriam and destroying everything, you're eventually going to become so hardened that you're not going to care who you destroy, what you're doing. So I don't know.
The reason I do find it harsh, and like I said, one of the meanest things I've heard Rosethorn say, is because of the fact that it's not necessarily that, like, because she needed to hear, I never said that the first step was going to be easy.
Yeah.
But over time, you'll get used to it. Because if it wasn't summed up in that way, if it would have just left off at, I never said the first step was going to be easy, it wouldn't have as much weight.
Yeah.
Like, it would have just been a, not necessarily consoling, but definitely a, it wouldn't have hit as hard.
Yeah.
And I was going to say, it helps punctuate the point. And it, like, Evie's 14, and, like, immediately Rosethorn does say, the age you were supposed to learn to be with people, you were alone. You don't know these things. She does try and ease it a little bit towards, like, in the second part of that. But yeah, no, like, I don't think it would have hit as hard or as heavy if she hadn't thrown in that line. And it doesn't matter how that line was delivered. It doesn't matter if it was flippantly sarcastic or if it was dead serious. Like, it holds a weight all of its own. And so, yes, it was real harsh and real mean.
I think that's the only way that she is able to get through to Evie.
Yeah.
Because Evie is stubborn. She's like a stone. She's hard-headed. She doesn't listen to anything. And if you're soft and gentle with her about it, she's not going to listen. And I feel like the only way for Evie to listen is if you're harsh with her. And so, and Rose Thorne knows that about Evie. And it's like, I'm going to have to be super harsh. And this is a really horrible, mean thing to say, but this is the only way to get through to you.
Whether or not it is a lesson to be learned, the delivery was harsh.
Yeah.
And I think overly so. It needed to be said. It is important. It should have been said, but it is still overly harsh, in my opinion. She definitely got her point across. She most definitely did that, but like, it can be both things. I believe it can serve the purpose that it did of getting through to Evie, but also being over harsh.
I feel like if they were in a different situation where they weren't potentially gonna die, she probably would have delivered it a little bit nicer.
Oh yeah.
But I feel like the circumstance that they're in right now, she didn't really have time to think about how she wanted to react to it. So it came out really harsh. But I also am glad that she kind of apologized a little bit afterwards, because imagine if that were, if they did die and these were the last words that she said to her, that'd be a shitty way to go.
Yeah. I will bring that up later.
Not really. I really felt that it was necessary, and like it's stated in the book, Evie hasn't exactly had a stable, normal upbringing where she could have learned to be a little more empathetic, and you know, the fact that she worked with stone magic doesn't help. It had to be said this way. I don't see how else it'll go through. I really don't.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, she's a child, but also, like I said, it kind of like I said last episode, you can't just go, hey, Sock, I mean, Evie, you sometimes you do a bad thing and bad things happen and it feels bad and it sucks. I'm sorry. Like, you just have to be like straight to the point with her and tell her exactly what's going on.
I agree.
Can I add to this though?
Yes.
Do it.
Ultimately, that line forces Evie back onto the path of being a builder. She goes to fix her mistake.
Yeah.
You have a point. You make a point. Every action has a consequence. And I think that's what Rose Thorne's kind of point is here. And Evie goes, I don't want that.
Right.
That's not who I am. That's not what I want. That's not who I want to be. And so Evie goes to find Miriam. And Evie goes to force the Law of Spirits to do what she wants them to do. To save as many people as she can. And so it's definitely one of those things of whether it was too harsh or not, it did what it needed to do.
Yeah.
Which was to make Evie stop and think. Because I don't think without that conversation, Evie would have gone back. Yeah. I think she would have felt bad about it. I think she would have been inconsolable, but I don't think she would have gone back. Without Rose Thorne saying that.
Yeah.
I am a firm believer that was the turning point for Evie. But I'm going to go ahead and go with my likes if nobody else has anything to add on that conversation.
Yeah, go for it.
Once again, I thought Azazé should have been born a queen. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
The description of Oswin's voice was as hard as diamond and as soft as chalk. Those two things don't go together, but I just love the choice of imagery there a lot. They sang to my magic, a chorus of nightingales. Just, I like the, there's a couple of these that I just really like how they're worded. And then we get through all of that. You didn't have to be so very rough with us. We were listening. You did not listen fast enough.
Sounds like something Rose Thorn would say.
Yeah.
I feel like with that last one, Luvo was been complaining about how everybody moves too fast. Everyone needs to slow down. And now the meat creatures are starting to rub off on him. Like, you're not listening fast enough. Be more like the meat creatures and move your ass. Let's go.
I just love that so much. That was part of the reason I highlighted it, is because I like the growth of Luvo.
Yeah.
So.
It's really becoming like a bridge between rocks and people now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I liked when everyone's trying to like squeeze onto the ships, and Oswin is on there, and you know, seeing the ship like riding low in the water because it's so full of like people, but also shit. Just like people packing furniture and stuff, and it's like, bro, you realize that like none of that will be important if you fucking die because you didn't get rid of it. You can buy new furniture, you can get new clothes. If you don't leave, or if the ship capsizes because it's so full of shit and not people, that's not good.
I was going to say, that is just human, though. One of the good things that I like about Pierce's writing is she's able to make people be human. And that is something that humans would do. So, Anyway, sorry.
No, I was, I wonder if that happened on the Titanic, you know, people bringing their luggage with them instead of, like, making room for people. Like, I'm 100% sure it did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're more worried about their own.
It's like, please fit more people on the boats instead of your replaceable shit. They brought back that ship captains just carry, you know, wind tied in knots. I haven't seen that in, God, I don't know how many books. But I love the throwback. With the quote, "How lucky are you, Efu Mei Mei? I thought you go from Zhangxi's human war to nature's war on stars. At least you know it isn't you. This stuff has always begun by the time you get there." That's rough.
Yeah. Can't catch a break.
She's been through a lot, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Becoming a mage, and we know, at least in these books, and with, you know, Rose Thorn and everybody, like, it's gonna keep happening, but like she said, it's not her fault. She didn't cause it, but she is there to try to help. Which is sometimes all that you can do, is just be there.
My first one is a dislike. Azaze is telling Evie, Oswin isn't to know one of his children is missing. Oh my gosh, it's so, so sad. We don't need to let him know that one of his kids are missing, because, yeah, he's going to run off and go get the kid. I would be heartbroken if people knew and they didn't tell me anything. Like, and everyone's just like, yeah, well, no, nobody will say anything, because we know that it's more logical to not say anything. Like, I get it, but at the same time, it's heart-wrenching. It's horrible. And then my next one is also a dislike. When Oswin is talking to Evie and telling her, don't blame yourself about Miriam. I should have kept an eye on her. I knew it had happened. When Miriam's upset, she heads for home. He has a lot more grace than I would have had if I would have known that my kid went back home because somebody was mean to her. Like, no, Evie didn't tell Miriam to go back, but she was main cause of why she went back. I don't think I would have this much grace as Oswin. He's a lot nicer than I am.
I kind of just want to add to that, like, if I know he's got a million things on his mind, but if he knew that,
yeah,
tends to do that, I would literally tie her to a rope to
right him. Like, that I know
that's
in
why,
the last go
oh,
ahead
that's why I want to say it's not just Evie's fault. Like, there's a lot of people that could have been doing a lot of stuff to keep this from happening. But also the island's exploding. Like,
yeah,
this isn't a normal situation.
Yeah.
I think this is why Oswin has this grace. Because I think this is kind of the difference between Nori and Oswin, which is just very much like maturity and experience. He's aware that there are lots of things that went into this happening. Indy mentioned in the last episode that Nori is probably blaming herself. Oswin is also probably blaming himself. But they basically react to that blame differently. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So she is blaming herself and wants to take it out on somebody else because she's angry at herself. And Oswin is like, I'm aware that this was partially my fault. There are a lot of factors that went into it. And so, I don't know, it's like, he sort of does the opposite. And he's like, being aware of that and his role in it makes it easier for him to not take out his anger on someone else.
Yeah.
I guess he's more accepting of his role in the situation.
Yeah. He kind of made me a little upset, though, because he knows that Miriam is missing. Yeah, he blames himself a little bit for it, but he's not going after her, which, fair, he probably shouldn't. He has 12 other kids. Yeah. But when he finds out that Nori is also missing, he's quick to be like, you know what, I should go. Like, why are you willing to go if Nori is missing, but not for Miriam? Like, is one of your kids more important than the other? I don't feel like he probably feels that way, but just reading it, it made me feel really sad for Miriam.
So I take this of one of two ways. One, we now have two kids missing.
Yeah.
That's important. Like, one kid that really fucking
one kid sucks. And whatever. Two, yeah.
Well, it's not so much as an eh, it's that sucks. I can't do anything. I have all of these other kids. There are two kids missing now, and he's like, okay, I've got to go do something.
I feel also like with Nori too, it's horrible to say it this way, that she has more value because she actually helps take care of the other kids.
That was
whereas Miriam isn't that she's one of the burdens. Yeah. Nori helps with those burdens.
I was gonna say also, if he lost Nori, he'd lose one of his biggest supports.
Yeah,
in taking care of all of these kids.
Yeah.
And so I don't necessarily think it's that he loves Miriam any less than he does Nori, but he needs Nori.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have anyone else to lean on, or anyone else he thinks he can lean on, is what I should say.
Yeah.
The volcano is a stressor, and then losing Miriam, what's the word? It's exponential, right? So like losing Miriam adds even more, and losing Nori adds even more than losing Miriam. And so it's just kind of the...
Yeah.
I also kind of feel like they're losing their home. They're losing the place where they've already have all of this, their entire lives set up. And it's kind of a point of, I don't want to lose a kid to this, but I also have more responsibilities than this. When the second one gets added in, it's I can't lose my kids. I can't lose that many.
Yeah.
I see it as a guilt thing.
Yeah.
He thinks that he failed in keeping Miriam safe, and now Nori is trying to save her, and that's his fault at that point.
Yeah.
He feels like that's his job. He's supposed
to. That makes more sense. That makes me feel better.
Yeah, and now his other kid is trying to save this kid who he couldn't save because he fucked up, and now it's on... Now, obviously, the first one was also kind of on him, but now the second one is definitely on him.
Yeah.
That's how I saw it.
Yeah.
I like that reading a lot better.
Yeah.
My next one is like when Luvo and Starnes show up and they stop the volcano spirits from being able to do what they're wanting to do, which Evie had told Flair and Carnelian, Oh, Luvo can talk to his other volcano friends, volcano spirit mountain friends, and they'll stop you. It was a bluff. And nope, hey, guess what? Luvo and his mountain spirit friends are able to stop him. I thought that was so great. I didn't know he could do that. And then Emmy's like, "Did I know that you could do that?" And Luvo's like, "I didn't know I could, but we tried and it worked. So hooray." It was really cool. And then my last one is that Luvo tells Evie, "I found I was not prepared to let you die, Ebumeme. I know it must happen. I learned that if I may put it off even for a drop of time, I will take that drop."
I also have a lot of feelings about that line too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big one for me.
Yeah.
I only have a handful, and they're mostly like specific quotes. She won't talk. Evie understands reality. This one's just hefty. I also like the description of taking on volcanoes. Rose Thorne says taking on volcanoes is like wrestling Luvo. And I like that description. And it kind of fits because the volcanoes end up sort of wrestling Luvo at the end. The gods watch when you replace their plans with your own. You had best make good on your new plan if you interfere in theirs. You can't just decide you're tired of your new plan or that one part of it is more important than the rest. I don't know exactly what it is about that. It might be something that we discuss a little bit more at the end of the book or at the end of the series or something, because there are some thoughts I have about things we haven't quite got to yet. But yeah, that line just really struck me. I guess it's like, don't do things flippantly. It actually kind of reminds me of in Cold Fire when the twins' parents tell them, like, you can't just go changing who your teacher's gonna be now. Like, think about what you're going into as you go into it. They would be free even if it wasn't what they had dreamed. Who gets exactly what they dream in life anyway? Oh, and then on page 291, Evie is talking to Flair and Carnelian and says, "I'm tired of being reasonable. If you won't mind common sense, then you just have to do what I tell you. This isn't the way." I dragged them out of the hollow they had made through the crowd of volcano spirits. They got out of our way. Seemingly feared anything that could tow their precious leaders along like naughty children, if they had children, and if they had towed them by whatever passed for ears. And I wrote, Evie's got some real Rose Thorn energy.
Yep.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast. And up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Part two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we talk about a theme or a message from the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
Building versus destroying.
That was mine too.
I'm going to find mine.
It's just we've talked that to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. The whole decision to go, no, I'm going to be a builder. I'm going to do what I can.
Mine was responsibility.
Oh, that's a good one.
Emmy is trying her damnedest now to get these spirits away from the island. The spirits she initially powered up a little bit on accident. An accident on purpose to buy some time, but she's taking responsibility for it. She kind of gave up earlier, but now she's back. She's, you know, kind of really kicking their asses into gear to get them to where they need to go. And also she's kind of feeling responsible for Miriam right now, because even though personally I don't think it's entirely her fault, she is going to feel that responsibility regardless.
Yeah,
because it's just that situation where you say something mean to someone and then something bad happens to them, and it's like, oh well, regret, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is focused on page 292 to 293, this little section. You're going out the way I told you to, I snapped. I'm tired of fussing with you and finding ways to keep you busy and out of my hair. You're a danger to my friends. You can't be trusted to do things so you don't kill everything in sight. If you're determined to die, fine. You'll do it where you don't murder everything else for miles around. Why do you care? Carnelian wasn't fighting me as hard as Flair. Instead, she twined her arms around the one I used to grip her ear. Her warmth burned even through my diamond armor. Everything's all temporary anyway, she said. You touch it, well, we touch it, and it disappears. It's not like it's important. That sounded like Luvo and me calling people and animals meat creatures. I feel like this is the chapter where Evie really figures out, I guess she realizes other people have feelings too, and maybe she should care about those feelings, and maybe she does care about those feelings.
Yeah.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. What magic were you able to craft out of this chapter?
So I thanked my strong arms that helped me climb and lift and fight. I thanked my hands. They led me to Briar and my magic by itching to handle polished stones and by accidentally waking the power in them. I thanked my legs with the muscles that could hike and kick. I think I have poor feet. They'd carried me so far. They had such an awful punishment from the Emperor's soldiers. I thanked my belly and guts for putting up with the bad food I gave them when I couldn't find anything else. I thanked my bones, my skin, my mouth, my nose. As someone who suffers from mental illness, I feel that this is important because I'm in constant pain. I broke my back when I was 8, and it constantly hurts. Like, I broke my arm. I don't have mobility that I should have. Yes, my body hurts all the time and my brain rebels against me all the fucking time. But also, I thank my ears for letting me hear music and Malia and Zania's laughter. I thank my voice because I speak for people who cannot. You have to find things to be thankful for. Sometimes when you're suffering from chronic illness, whether that be, you know, a physical debilitating or a mentally debilitating thing, you have to find something to be thankful or it's going to eat you. You're going to wallow and hurt. But when you find something that you're thankful for, it makes it a little bit easier. It's taken me a long time to get there, to be thankful for something every day. Find little joys, little things to be thankful for. It does change a lot.
That was mine.
That was also one of mine.
I don't have nearly as many deep things to say about it. I guess there's a little bit of like deep things I can say about it because I absolutely hate my body and I love the idea of treating it with gratitude and saying like, I am thankful that I have this. I am thankful that I have that. But also just in general, being grateful.
Yeah, I wanted to say there have been a lot of days that I don't even want to get out of bed, going through some hard things right now. Being thankful that I'm able to get out of bed, and I'll thank my body for all those things. I don't know. All the things that you basically said.
I'm actually going to throw in one more little thing here. As y'all know, and probably our listeners now, I'm converting to Judaism. One of the things that I've learned about Judaism is there is a whole series of blessings for like waking up and opening your eyes and like walking and just like little everyday things that you do. There's a blessing for going to the bathroom. It's actually been one of my goals that I want to like print all those out and put them somewhere where I can see them so that I can actually learn them and start just saying them all of the time. Because it'd be great if I just like woke up and my first thought in the day was, thank you, God, for letting me open my eyes today. And even if you don't like believe in God, I still feel like it's just a great attitude to just be like,
thank you, eyes, for waking me up. Thank you, brain, for waking me up.
I am grateful that my eyes
getting me out of bed.
Yeah.
That's something that I've kind of had to deal with firsthand as well. Like, there's still joy to be had in this world, even
yeah,
if, like, things are shitty right now. I've been trying not to think about it. It's been pushed pretty far into the back of my head, but, you know, my fiance is pretty sick. She's doing great right now. You never know what the future is going to hold. So you just have to enjoy what you have now, what you have, what you can. Yeah. So we're having a good time. We're going out. We're doing stuff because life is too short.
Are you guys ready for Sad Boy Hours?
Oh, I'm ready.
Fuck me up.
Whew, let's see if I can do this without crying. I found I was not prepared to let you die. I know it must happen. I learned that if I may put off every drop of time, I will take that drop. It's officially been 6 months since, not to sound dramatic, but it's me, so it's going to be dramatic. It's been 6 months since my heart stopped beating. My whole reason for getting out of bed. I love that cat. I love that cat so much. I miss him every day. I felt every day for the last 6 months. It's such a vicious and stark clarity. I was ready to spend every single cent I had. It didn't matter if it was going to be pointless by the end of it. I would have spent everything to save them. And it's hard. And it sucks. And yeah, I want him back. I would take him back in a heartbeat. If I may put it off even for a drop of time, I will take that drop. Be thankful for every second you get to spend with someone or doing something you love. You never know when it's the end. And I feel like there are a lot of things I can say in this moment, but being thankful for every second that there is with someone or something or doing something is important. I also think that you should try and leave this world better than you left it. But that's a different magic.
I'm sure I've said this one before, but here it comes again. Teamwork makes the dream work. Luvo, you know, can't do everything by himself. So hey, you islands, are you guys cool with these, you know, little lava dudes fucking everything up? And they're like, no. And it's like, okay, let's do something about it. So, you know, he kind of gathers them up, puts them all together, and they manage to save not only themselves, but also the people on the island and all the other living things. What I got out of it is that you can't always do everything by yourself. When you need help, reach out. Because there is strength in others that, you know, shit's hard. And you don't have to deal with it on your own. There's always someone that, you know, you can reach out to and can help out in some way or another or give you a different perspective to help you, you know, deal with it yourself. But reach out. Help is available.
Mine is when Rosethorn is telling Evie, 6-year-olds are tender plants. I have to remember that, having a 7-year-old, because sometimes she'll get upset about things that I don't think are a big deal. Mm-hmm. But to have the grace to be like, you know what? It's a big deal to you. So I will make the effort to act like it's a big deal to me as well. And we'll get through it and we'll talk our way through it instead of just brushing it off, being like, it's not a big deal. You need to stop. Because so for 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds, the smallest thing can be world shattering to them. And I've got to stop and help her with her world changing things.
I was going to say that is always something good to keep in mind, because kids are experiencing everything for the first time. And it's hard. Like, they have no point of reference, and so it is the end of the world for them. Their goldfish dies. This is the first time they've dealt with death. It's world ending to just realize everybody's going to die one day. They get their heart broken. It's the first time they've ever loved someone and they've just broken their heart.
Yeah. Like,
they have no point of reference. Yeah, they might be 12 years old and it's, you know, kiddie love. Like, it's just babies.
Yeah.
But, like, also that's their first experience with it, and it's hard.
Yeah.
So it is a good idea to kind of keep that in mind. I like that one.
Let's see. The last chapter is called Out of the Ashes. Does anyone want to take a crack at what happens in this chapter?
I'm sure there was some ash from the volcano and that they're recovering from said volcano eruption, I guess.
Brittany, your predictions. Like, I love you so much. Like, they just bring me so much joy. And they have since day one. Like, back at the end of season one, when we were like, what do you think is going to happen in Triss's book? And you were like, she's going to shave her head and turn it into a beard and become a pirate. I was like, I knew this was a good idea. Yeah.
We are still waiting on that fan fiction. If anybody has wrote it, please email us at
templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
Or reach out to us on our socials.
You have any guesses, Goodwin?
I think they're going to be pulling Oswin's smoldering corpse out of the house, and that is what the ashes that they are pulling out of the ashes. Oswin's
Hello.
crispy
Is
body.
nobody has died yet? So, and it's the last chapter.
No, Miriam's going to be fine. So is Nori. It's just Oswin went into the house thinking they were in there, and it got clunked by a chunk of lava.
You nobody we have like
Someone's
loved
got to die.
here. Nobody's died yet, and it's the last
Maybe
chapter. Like
Luvo's dead. Is Luvo dead? Because he
he
went
wasn't
all.
in the end of the last chapter because he gave all the power to Evie, but he was still able to contact the mountain spirits. So I
Actually,
was wondering too if he was dead, but then
yeah.
he's back with the
He
spirits.
kind of, yeah, he kind of came
So
back.
I meant to ask this at the end of our likes and dislikes. What did y'all think of that?
I thought he had died, and then he came back at the end. I was like, oh, I guess he's not dead because he was a lifeless lump in her arms. It's like, oh no, he gets the last of his power to be able to save everyone. And I'm like, oh, here's him dead, and then he comes back. I'm like, okay, I guess he's not. So unless he's not able to go back into his body, but everyone else is able to go back into their body, so.
I thought Indy was asking just in general about all of the islands showing up and kind of saving the world.
I thought it was really fucking cool because, like I said, Evie was bluffing in previous chapters, like, oh yeah, Luvo will talk to his mountain buddies and they'll stop you. Just you watch. And she's bluffing. She didn't mean it. And then, oh, he was able to do it. So,
That felt like a self-fulfilling prophecy almost, like,
yeah.
because she didn't know he could do that, but
Yeah,
then.
because even she was like, did I know that you could do that? And he's like, no, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, and then it's like, yeah, he got the, like, he probably got the idea from her and then tried, and it's like, oh, we can do this.
But I don't think he was there to hear her say that, though, unless when she got back, she's like, I said this, this, and this.
Possible.
That's true. Well, I know right before she went down there to get the diamonds or whatever, she threw all these images at him because she didn't have time to tell him anything. So maybe that was one of the images she threw at him.
I also have to say, I was curious because I feel like this is a kind of controversial ending in the fandom. Read things in the fandom where people have talked about being kind of dissatisfied or like, Evie shouldn't be this powerful. I personally am not bothered by it, but I also like, this is my series, y'all, so it can kind of do no wrong.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird that she could hold all the magic of a god, and then she was able to go get more magic from the diamonds. Like, how much magic can this girl hold? Jesus Christ. That's a lot of magic.
Okay, think about how much force and pressure it takes to destroy a rock.
True.
That's the way that I take it, is
So
like.
is Juba Huba this powerful then?
No, but we also know that Juba Huba is not as powerful as Evie.
That's true.
Yeah. But some people have said, well, like they think that Evie is just uniquely powerful. I think there's been some conversation that maybe Evie is like not entirely human. Like there have been some, what's the word, theories about that.
Well,
I have an idea.
hmm.
I think the fact that she hasn't grown up in like a regular human, like being brought up as a human, essentially, if you kind of get what I'm saying. Like she had a parent and then she lost them, sold to slaves, then ran away and kind of had to fend for herself and was like kind of protecting herself with rocks since she was like a child, I think has given her a more. Like a deeper understanding of rock magic. I think that kind of goes hand in hand with Luvo and like seeing how Luvo communicates to other rocks and like what his powers are and him learning from her. Like she has an even deeper experience of not just how like she communicates with rocks, but now how rocks communicate with each other. And that's made her a more powerful, I almost said earthbender. Rock mage,
I mean, she
stone mage.
basically
Yeah,
is.
pretty much, yeah.
that makes me think of back in Sandry's book when the kids harass Nico about not telling them that they were mages. And he's basically like, I wanted to tell you as little as possible, because once I told you things, then you have a conceived notion and it kind of locks you into the way you work magic. And we see that that's kind of the reason that Sandry is able to spin magic, because nobody's told her she can't. So when they're trapped in the earthquake, she's like, hey, what if I can spin us together? And then she does, and she's the first person to be able to do this, just because she doesn't have a conceived notion of that not being a possibility. And I think it could be the same case with Evie, that like, having grown up the way she has, having gone through her experiences, she hasn't been told as much of what her limitations are, and so she doesn't have the same sense of limitations that others do. I'm gonna pass the mic to Indy.
What I was going to say for primarily the people who are like, oh, well, she's OP. Okay, but listen, the first 8 books have dealt with prodigies, because the original 4, they're OP as fuck. Like, let's be honest, though. So, I mean, yeah, I kind of understand the argument, but at the same time, what fucking book series have you been reading? This is not a new concept within this book series, because you brought it up with Sandry. Briar also has essentially turned a house back into essentially a forest because he felt like it. Daja body slammed a fucking fire tornado. Like, they have all done extraordinary things with their magic.
All of this being said, I feel like it's worth pointing out that many, many chapters ago, I don't remember which one, way, way at the beginning, Luva's talking to Jayet, I think, about how he and Evie met. And he talks about like how he came out of his mountain for her because, and I quote, she sparkles. So Evie is special. Whether that's like an inborn, she's innate, a special person that's like something extra, or whether that's just because she has learned and developed her magic in a different way, like, it can't be said. I think personally, I'm going to headcanon it as number 2, just because I like that idea. I've always liked the idea that like anybody can become that person. It just takes the mindset.
Yeah.
We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt. Chapter 22, y'all. The final chapter of Melting Stones. I wasn't sure how easy it would be to reach them. The earthquakes would have knocked the road to pieces. Lucky for me, 2 of the animals who had come to the farm were mules. You can't beat mules for taking on bad terrain. I sweet-talked them into wearing saddles and packs I had stuffed with food and mule treats. I knew that nobody tells a mule to do anything. It's better to negotiate. So what if I hobbled like an old woman? It was time to go. Otherwise, like the ferret in the old stories, curiosity would kill me, or worry, or fear. Off we went, slowly. Each step sent up a puff of ash. Tree limbs sagged with more ash. It blanketed the grass and hid the stones. I had to wrap a scarf over my face to keep from breathing it. I even ripped up 2 shirts and gave the mules scarves for their noses. I envied them their long eyelashes. Every little breeze blew grit right into my face. My eyes watered all the time. The mules warned me when a fresh shake was coming. That was good. My magic was still limp, so I didn't know. When the mules halted, their eyes rolling, I'd slide from the saddle. I'd talk soft to them until the ground settled again. I gave them apples and carrots and paid them compliments in every language I knew. They liked the compliments even more than the treats. Mules are pretty vain. There's no good speaking of that journey. It lasted 2.5 days. The road was just sad. In 3 places, rock slides had wiped it away. Lucky for me that I had mules. Lucky, too, that the McRae River was changed, knocked into a new course by the bouncing earth. We picked our way along the old riverbed. The whole time, I prayed to Kansan the Merciful, to Hebei, and to the gods of the Living Circle. I wanted to see no tumbles of clothes, no bodies half buried by rock or ash. I wanted no sign that the people I searched for had died making this journey. Either the gods listened and they were safe, or they were under so much rock that I never saw them. I wore out the three brooms I brought, sweeping ash from the mules' grazing and my campsite. I went through every spare bit of cloth. We couldn't drink the McRae's water. It was acid from the damage done by the volcano spirits. The mules grumbled as I measured out water from my canteens, but they could smell the river. They wouldn't touch that water. If I came back after death as anything, it would be a mule.
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake at us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellows for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellows for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening. Let's all have coffee next week. And let's shine like a diamond. Shine like a diamond. Shine like a diamond.
Shine bright like a diamond. You forgot a word.
You fucked it up.
You fucked it up.
Well, I guess someone's not getting dinner tonight. And let's shine bright like a diamond.
There you go.
And let's shine bright like a diamond.
Can we go with that take? I really like that take.
The last one?
Yeah.
All right. Everything else is stinger.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.